If you have a team that's engaged and valued, doing what they're meant to do, they're living life empowered. So when they answer the phone, when they respond to an email, when they meet with a client, that overflows. Mm-hmm. They feel that I'm really happy here. I've got the headspace and the bandwidth to serve you, to think about where you are. That's a great client experience.
How you spend your money is, in many ways, how you spend your life. So, how can you generate not just a return on your investments, but a return on your life? Welcome to the Own Your Wealth podcast. Whether you're a working professional, a small business owner, or thinking about retirement, listen in as host Jason DeShays of Cook Wealth discusses tax strategy, financial planning, and more to equip you to live life empowered and truly own your wealth.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today on Own Your Wealth. I'm Jason DeShays. Well, we have a wonderful guest today, the lovely Sophie Howell, who is our Chief Experience Officer here, and we're going to talk about something real near and dear to our heart here at Cook Wealth, our experience team. So let's talk about what is an experience team. I mean, that's probably someone is used to hearing in a financial services firm, this experience thing. It's mostly, oh, there's advisors and there's support people, and maybe in our case we have tax people too. So what's an experience team?
I think my funniest response to that over the last several months was a lady just deadpan responded and said, "Well, you're not old enough to have experience." What do you mean, chief experience officer? You're too young. You're not experienced. So yeah, experience is intentionally a big. It's meant to encapsulate a lot, right? It's it covers marketing. It covers the client's feelings. It covers team engagement. It's covering a lot that's a result of great financial services and tax accounting, but also a great contributor. And so the way that I describe it is typically through an analogy. I'm a music fan. So if you're starting a tour, okay, you're going to do a concert every couple nights, I would correlate that to business strategy, your process. How do we do financial services? How do we do taxes? How do we bring people in? How do we serve them? So you're developing a process for, we're going to create this concert, and we're going to do it again and again. So the experience you're building is the processes of the business. To make that happen, you need the band, right? We've set up the process.
You don't want to just show up and just have a bunch of drummers. That
exactly.
wouldn't work so good.
Exactly, which is a great point I want to speak to also is who's in the band. But you have the band, our team. And so we want to make sure that they're super clear and engaged and excited about what they're doing. That's part of experience team. Our leadership, me as chief experience officer, is really concerned with, are the right people in the right seats? Is the basis the best basis? Is that giving them life? Mm-hmm. Or would they rather make the turkey sandwiches and make sure the bus, you know, is gassed up?
Yeah.
You know, everyone has a role. And so there's that like more HR traditional level of experience. And then there's balancing the fun with the work. You know, there's data that supports how important it is to have a good balance for productivity and team retention. So that's part of experience. And then the thing that I think most people think of when you say experience team or client experience officer is that marketing for the client, you know, the story we're telling the client and the experience they're having and the story the client tells. And so it really, it's a small team right now. It's a big job. It encapsulates a lot and we're new to it. We had two folks on experience team this time last year, and now we have five. So we're still kind of shaking out what it isn't, but it definitely covers a lot.
Well, when you think about experience and how people go through their journey through a company, right? You got your intake part where they're coming in and they're getting exposed for the first time.
Right.
There's the actual onboarding process that's like, well, how do I actually go from saying, yes, I want to work with you to actually working with you? And then there's the ongoing approach. And I think all that stuff is easy to kind of fall to the wayside in most firms because you're trying to get the work done, and you don't want to necessarily pause and think about that because you want to make sure you're taking care of business.
Right.
And I really appreciated the approach of creating a quality white glove experience through all that and having it cover not just the clients and the prospective clients, but also the employees because they're really important around here. That's kind of the magic sauce that makes things work really well here. And you know, just kind of talk a little about how this kind of came to fruition, because, you know, again, it's not traditional in any professional services firm, but how did it germinate here?
Well, I think Brian Cook, our CEO, always, whether he called it that or not, he's always been an advocate for how the client feels. And he's always felt really strongly that the client's perception is their reality. So we can say we're the best and we can do the best and all the numbers can match up, but if they have a feeling, that's their feeling. Mm-hmm. That's their takeaway. And so that's a different approach. I think the platinum rule is a good way of thinking about client experience. It's not what I think is good financial services. It's knowing the client and how they want to be treated. Not what I would want to hear, but what they would want to hear. So thinking about client first, I think is common, though it may not be called advocating for the client. The thing that we've turned on its head in the last year is team first. Not that clients aren't prioritized, they absolutely are, but the twist on that that we've learned through several of our new hires and just seen it work is if you have a team that's engaged and valued, doing what they're meant to do, they're living life empowered. So when they answer the phone, when they respond to an email, when they meet with a client, that overflows. Mm-hmm. They feel that I'm really happy here. I've got the headspace and the bandwidth to serve you, to think about where you are. That's a great client experience. That's what they're going to remember. So when we pour into our team, when we value them, when we know them, they can do what they're meant to do. And that's why we would never dream of ignoring experienced team mm-hmm. now, because it's shown itself so valuable so quickly. So I think the philosophy was always there in Brian Cook's mind and heart. I think that you actually, I would attribute the term experience when we were going through scalability plans and org charts and what do we call this thing? It's more than marketing. And I think experience was when it was your idea, the actual term. And then I think the reason that it took off is our experience advocate, we call him Matt McDougall, came from a hospitality-focused industry. Mm-hmm. All of his previous jobs were very focused on service. And, you know, it was his belief and aligned really closely with our values that if we put that team first, if we focus on how people are feeling, then the service happens.
Well, and when you think about it, if you're trying to compare vendors, right? So if you're ultimately the client and you're trying to figure out what is the right fit for you, there's certain baselines you expect, right? Yeah. You expect there's a certain adoption of technology. There's a certain amount of fiduciary standard. If you're looking at tax work, their technical expertise should be able to do a tax return. It's the how you feel. It's what how you connect with them and you really relate to them. And can you hear them talking to your life and helping you on that journey?
Yeah.
And that's a very non-quantifiable thing. It's not you're going to say, oh, this is, you know, my score of 1 out of 10. How did I feel? Oh, that was definitely an 8. And that guy was a 4. Right. And this one's a 10. Maybe you can get there, but ultimately it's how you feel in that mm-hmm. process. And when you were mentioning earlier, like that team first mindset, it's almost kind of when you're on the airplane, like put your mask on before you help others.
Yes.
You have to be equipped, because if you're burnt out and tired and crispy and really have no sense to be able to do it, you are not going to be able to provide your best to a client. It's just not practical. It's why our tax team, the focus is to build a team that can function during tax season where they're not crazy and like working 90 hours a week, because no one wants to get a return from someone who's crispy fried and you're handing it to them on April 15th. And they're like, well, I hope it's right. Yeah. When did you sleep? Oh, I didn't. I did not sleep. This is my best work that I can do mm-hmm. at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Not a good outcome for the client, not a good outcome for the firm or anything.
It's so fitting in financial services too. People come to us in life transitions, in scary moments, mm-hmm. in emotional times. So it means everything if I can have authentic connection and eye contact with a service provider who also happens to know how to do the thing that I need them to do. But it's, you know, if the meeting's pleasant, if I feel seen and heard, if I feel confidence in you and there's nothing weird going on, that's man, that's what people need when they're figuring out how to spend their money. How do I spend my life? How do I make this decision? You need a great experience to clear that noise and make those choices. It's everything. I just went to the post office for the first time in a long time.
When was the last time you went to the post office?
First time in a long time. And the gentleman that helped me, I have to assume that he's not valued. And this is no bash on the U.S. Postal Service, of course. It's actually a gas station with a post office kiosk. So he came from checking out someone's chewing tobacco and came to help me buy stamps or whatever. But I tried three different ways to connect with him. I made a joke about how loud the music was. I sang a little bit to see if I could sweeten him up. I said something funny about, what was on the counter, and I just couldn't get him to crack a smile. And I don't know what's going on in his mind. Who knows what he faced that day? But as someone who gets the benefit, the great privilege of having a career that's focused on others' job satisfaction, I empathized with him, and I thought, this gas station don't take care of you, Leonard. Shout out to Leonard. I caught it was on his little shirt. He hated every little thing that I asked him. He was harumph and pointing, and that's where it is, and burn, burn, burn. And that's not how he woke up. I think the employer undervaluing or some sort of negative interaction with his leader or whatever, all that stuff matters. And so, running a business, it's really important. You don't want your employees to act like that, and telling them not to doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm just saying, be happy and cheerful and kind and be pleasant. There's a Party City by our house, and that's usually the go-to place for birthday balloons and such. But every time you walk in the door, they're supposed to say, "Welcome to the party." But they're so down, like, "Welcome to the party." Mm. You're like, "Yeah, woohoo!" and so it comes out. And if someone's happy with what they're doing, they're feeling challenged and like invigorated with the kind of work they're doing, they're coming and bringing you the best they can. It's not the phone it in kind of situation, right. And no one wants to do that. But if they don't care about their job, right, it's going to come out of the airwaves. So, we've got this team we've built. Who's on the team?
Oh, okay, so Chief Experience Officer, I get to lead the team, which is really fun. Experience Advocate is Matt McDougall. He takes care of events and team engagement. We have Matt Meary, who is our Marketing Director, and then our Office Manager, the supremely talented Marilyn Yoder. She takes care of office experience. How does it feel to come in and out? Mm-hmm. Do we have all the things that we need? Does our precious teammates have their favorite seasonal creamer? Little stuff like that goes a long way.
It does go. It's like $2.
Yeah, and we love doing that for our folks. And then coming soon, we have an in-house HR specialist, Maddie Brown. So growing team, it's a challenge to focus on, we want to do everything. Mm-hmm. Because what is, as I hope is evident now, what is not experienced team? The feelings and the emotions of us, of working with a service provider, it's involved in every step.
So what's on the horizon for the experienced team over the next year or so? We work with EOS, and so we know we're always looking at things at quarterly and our one-year vision and our 10-year goals and such. What are you seeing for the experienced team?
Oh, we have big plans this year. We have an event calendar that we're excited about that's already in process. What we discovered over the last year of experimenting and doubling our team size is we want to be really intentional about how we spend time together. In the same way that you want clients to get to know you, like you, trust you, and that takes intentional multiple touches, team engagement is the same way. So we've got I want to say 2 to 3 events per month, and they're focused on social activities, education, getting to know each other, getting out in nature, art, all the dimensions that lead to a balanced life. And part of that will also be community relations. It's important to our folks that we give back, and we know that that's good for us and for the Triangle. So we're going to be intentional about that also. I think in addition to that, we're going to pivot our marketing. So We're adding this HR component and going to lean into centers of influence and partnerships and lean into in-person marketing simply because CookWealth, the way that we provide advice is very relational. It's fitting. When you come to someone for financial advice, your life's in transition. You're emotional. Something's changing. Mm-hmm. Something's uncertain. Maybe you're just excited that you won the lottery, but usually there's some feelings to navigate. And that takes some trust and some intentional building. So we want to create opportunities for that and make marketing intentionally communal. So we're going to be hosting in-person events, inviting our clients to invite friends, and creating experiences for them to make memories and enjoy themselves.
Well, and when you think about the period we had during COVID where we were all kind of tucked away, safe in our houses and didn't really have those kind of interactions, mm-hmm. and we had to pivot for a good chunk of time where the natural order of things was disrupted and very Zoom heavy and virtual. I think coming back to this where we're really connecting with people in a way of hearing them and seeing them as people.
Yes.
One of my favorite things to do is whenever we're at something, whether a conference or a meeting, and we can make a time and see people who live there and who we don't get to see on a day-to-day basis. It's just a lot of fun, but it's kind of seeing them in their space and getting to know them in a way that's more their place rather than, you know, in the office.
Absolutely. Kind of absolutely. When you hear about great client experiences, it's not usually, I love the way the post office gave me those stamps. It was the exact number of stamps I asked for. No, it's Leonard seemed really happy to be there, and he was engaged with me and made me feel valuable. That's not my story, but if it were, that's what you remember, and then you go back to that location. So I think it's important to think about that. And I love when our clients invite us to their homes or look forward to it or say, that was my favorite thing, you know, about last year. That was a really hard time, and you came to me and met with me, and we made a memory together. Yeah.
So you recently went to a professional development conference, and I imagine there was a lot of wealth management and financial services companies there. When you talk about your role in this team and how it fits into CookWealth, what do other people say who are also in the industry where this is not normal?
There's usually a source of confusion, but then also intrigue, and then eventually jealousy. Because they start out with, hey, what? And then, oh, that sounds interesting. And like, oh, I wish we did that.
It's like the three stages of acceptance.
Right, like denial. Right. So it's been a good experience. And I end the conversation. I explained to them what we just talked about, that, you know, marketing is a bigger picture. It's about storytelling and how people feel. And we know that our way of advising is very relational, focused on that experience. So we invest in our people. We know through EOS and Traction that if people understand their role and feel valued, they'll do well, they'll pour into the clients. So we've seen that work, and they buy it, they love it, but they also notice that it's uncommon. At this particular conference, it was mentioned several times that financial services in particular, it's very new to hire non-credentialed folks or people outside of the industry.
Yeah, that's correct.
Even for operations, even for non-finance roles, it's just that's a new thing. And a couple firms are doing it. There's CEOs and COOs out there that are coming from other industries, and folks are starting to see the value of those other perspectives. But yeah, it's kind of a similar thing. It's like, wow, at financial services, you're focused on how your team feels. That's different.
Well, when you think about it, that's kind of normative for any industry. It's like, oh, I want the chief of the American Medical Association better be a doctor, because they got to understand the constituents, and this one has to be a CPA, and this has to be a financial. They kind of have to work from advisor up to like running the company, but you had to be an advisor in that case.
Yeah,
it's always everyone's core skill set, and sometimes it's good to have the appreciation for what happens in the day-to-day operations. But when you're trying to run a company or deliver a certain kind of experience, you need to have a different perspective and lens of looking at things and not get so much in the logistics of how you execute the work in the sense of like, well, I got to make sure I'm in compliant, which is true. You need to do that. You also need to know, how does that feel to somebody? Is it a drawn out, burdensome process? Is it having to assign 17 things? Okay, but 18 is the magic number where at that point you do a separate time because the 18th form throws them off the edge. Yes. Like how many forms you have to sign.
Sure. I think it's really important. And I think when I think, we've probably known each other, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
We've worked together through several roles. And I would say, hot take, the leader who hasn't earned their stripes, I wouldn't say it's a better relationship. I would say it's different, and there are some benefits in that there's a vulnerability and a humility to that leader of, I've actually never done that. I actually don't know how to do that, and I don't need to because you're great at it.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell me what you think? The leader asks the questions. How can I remove that bottleneck for you? What do you think's wrong there? Not do it this way.
Yeah.
This is how I used to do it. Doesn't matter. And when I think about my professional growth or watching your professional growth, I think it's been the same thing. It's you coming to me and saying, so if you're really good at this, you do that, what do you think about this? And same thing with me, like, I'll handle this part, but I trust you over there. And it's worked out well.
Yeah, I agree. It's, I think gone are the days of the, like, the business owner or the person who's like did all the hats, and they did them all kind of mediocre, but they did them all. Now we're getting to really specialize, like, I am excellent at this, and I'm going to stick to that.
Yeah.
Because if I do, everyone's better served. And, again, the experience is better. Because if you have someone who just owns something, and we've seen that with our company as we've grown and changed, is like, okay, let's be hyper-focused on being excellent at this and not dabbling too much. Because when you dabble, you start getting kind of bad at stuff.
Sure.
And then eventually someone gets the feeling of, that wasn't a good experience, because it's something you do once every 2 years.
Right.
We don't want to do things once every 2 years. We want to do it day in, day out, so we are experts at it, and not just, you know, trying to do a few things here and there.
I think at this same conference, another thing that came up is mentorship. And I think that your leader doesn't always have to be your mentor. I know that sounds funny, but you can find coaches in other areas. You know, maybe for me, my leader is you. You're not going to teach me how to write or communicate or market or, you know, any of those things that I'd actually studied. And it's going to be irrelevant for you to teach me how to prepare a tax return, I hope. I'll do it if you need me to, but
we'll agree that we'll not pursue that.
But I think you can, a good leader can say, I've noticed, you know, a blind spot here. Who can I connect you with, you know, that can mentor you better? So there is still that sense of, I need a mentor, I need a coach, I can follow that lead and work myself up that traditional advisor track. And we have those, and those work well too. But I think it's, you know, no one's just a number. Every client is very unique, every team member is really unique, and I love that Cook Wealth, in strategy, in practice, in hiring, in service, we exemplify that. We make room for the uniqueness of what makes up for a better outcome.
Well, Sophie, I've always appreciated when I get to hear you talk this, because you just have such a conviction and belief in what we're doing here, and then specifically delivering that great quality experience. I just love having you on the team, and just thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, man, thanks for inviting me. Like I said, it's my privilege. I know what it's like to be undervalued at work. I think so many people do, and it's beautiful to get an opportunity to make sure that that's not the case for our team.
I agree. If you have questions about today's episode, go to cookwealth.com/podcast or call our office at 919-784-9100. Thanks for listening today. And please like, follow, and share this podcast with someone you think would find some value in it. Until next time, I'm Jason Deshays.
Thank you for listening to the Own Your Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at cookwealth.com or give us a call at 919-784-9100. Cook Wealth LLC is a registered investment advisor with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Cook Wealth LLC. This content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.